saved by God's grace, but together we belong to each other. Of another, of a church. Far from it. I can be who I want to be. I can worship where I want, when I want, even if it's online on a Saturday night or just... We belong to each other, and individually we're members, not of any church, not of the universal church per se, but actually of the local church. But before we delve a little bit more into that, Paul's got a bigger point to make first. He doesn't just want us to focus on belonging to each other, even here in this section. He wants to point us to the throne room of heaven and to the God who has poured out his Spirit upon the church, seeing in the individual gifts that he's given that Christians use to build each other up. So look with me at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Just that first part of the verse. To each... So that's to each Christian, part of the local church, is given the manifestation or the appearance or the sign of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's that sign? What's going on here? Well, Paul is saying that actually the Spirit being poured out is a sign that God's kingdom, the place where God's King Jesus rules over his people, has been poured out. The Spirit's been poured out because the kingdom of God has come. Because Jesus has appeared, died, risen again, and ascended to heaven, and as was promised in the Old Testament, has now poured out his Spirit, people from all tribes, all tongues, all nations can now be part of God's family. And he's saying the manifestation, the appearance of the Holy Spirit is a sign of that. So if the Spirit's poured out, it must be because Jesus is the risen, ascended King reigning from heaven. But that means that you and I, God's family, are a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Because the Old Testament prophesied that there'd be a day when people from all tribes, all tongues, would worship Jesus because he would pour out his Holy Spirit. Now think for a moment and shout some things out. Tell me some Old Testament promises or prophecies that you know have already been fulfilled. Absolutely. And as we get towards December, we'll look at those promises in the Old Testament that Jesus would come. Thank you. What else?
The Spirit would be poured out.
Yeah, the Spirit would be poured out. What else?
Resurrection.
Yeah, the resurrection is promised.
Blessing to all the nations.
Yeah, that God's people would be a blessing to the nations. His church would be attacked, and we're seeing that coming true. What about Jesus' death? Anything prophesied there?
Yeah, the suffering servant in Isaiah.
Yeah. So the Old Testament promises that the Messiah would come and he'd suffer before rising again. So we know all of these things, don't we? But again, just look around you. Look around at each other. We, as God's family, are equally an Old Testament prophecy, an Old Testament promise being fulfilled, as all those things we know about Jesus. He said he'd pour out his Spirit and he'd build his multinational church. That's what Paul is saying in verse 7. So if we believe in Jesus, that he died and he rose again, and we believe that he's poured out his Spirit, then also he's poured out his Spirit on each of us individually. We are all gifted. Look again at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Do you see that little word there? Each. To each. Not to some. Not to a select few. Not to the preacher. Not to the musician. Not to the sound desk. But to all who trust that Jesus is Lord and Saviour. He has poured out his Spirit on us, given us gifts for the common good, to build each other up, to encourage each other, to help worship Jesus together. Now look down at the rest of verse 7 to 10. And you'll probably see, if you look, a list of gifts. Verse 8, to one is given through the Spirit at the utterance of wisdom. And we've got knowledge, and we've got faith, and we've got healing, working of miracles, prophecy, and the ability to distinguish between spirits, kinds of tongues, interpretation tongues. We've got this whole list of gifts. And maybe you're saying, well, that's all very well and good to say we've all got the Spirit and we're all gifted, but I don't fit into that list whatsoever. It can't be me. There's exceptions to the rule. There's footnotes. No, Paul isn't trying to give you an exhaustive list here of gifts. He's simply using these as examples to say the Holy Spirit's been poured out and has gifted his church. And here's a few, particularly relevant for the church in Corinth at the time, to make the point that the Spirit's been poured out. So don't think you're not gifted because you don't see your gift down there. Nor should you give yourself a pat on the back when you think you're gifted or you see your gift down there. Well, look at me, isn't it good? I'm gifted. Yes, yes, you know, the church can't live without me. If I'm not here next week, you know, church is going to go to pot. Nonsense. Nonsense. We're all equally gifted, different gifts to serve one another. And then Paul in verse 12 to 14 picks up on this idea of the church being the body of Christ. So the Spirit's been poured out, gifted the church, and now he's given a variety of gifts, all of whom need each other. And if we haven't got one person serving using their gift, then we've got problems. The body, incomplete without a head, a shoulder, a knees, or a toes, is incomplete if one individual chooses not to use their gift to encourage and to build each other up. Let's demonstrate this. Okay, Matthew, do you want to come up? And Bethan and Jess. Now, pancakes. Pancakes are fairly simple to make, and my children like pancakes. If they had their choice, it'd probably be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I thought we'd have a little pancake demonstration. Okay, we've got two tables, two sets of ingredients. Now, obviously, we haven't got the pan to cook them in, and we haven't got the heat, and I've not done any paperwork. So you're just going to have to make your ingredient, make your mixture ready to cook later. Okay, you've got 30 seconds, because I think that's all you need. Off you go. How you going, guys? You got everything you need? So what's this you just put in here? Sugar, okay. And what's gone in there, Beth, and what else? Flour, okay, sugar and flour, good start. Matthew, what are you doing? You've got an egg. Is an egg useful for pancakes? Yeah, we need an egg. Harvey, what are you pouring in there? Milk. Milk useful? Good. Doing well so far. Okay, 10 seconds left. What are you mixing together there, girls? Flour, sugar, and milk. There's some liquid, isn't there? Oh, and you're going to put an egg in.
Yeah.
So how many ingredients did you have?
Four.
Four. Okay, thank you. And over here, what you've had, did you have flour?
Yes.
Sugar?
No, because you took it.
Oh, you haven't got sugar?
Because you took it.
Oh, I took it away, did I? All right, and your time is up. Thank you. So, good. So we had a complete mix here, didn't we? We had four different ingredients, which is a bit of a picture of the complete church, with all the gifts being used, and they all need each other. Beth, tell me about flour. Why do you need flour in pancakes?
Because it makes it rise.
It makes it rise. Okay, thank you. Matthew, why do you need milk in pancakes?
I don't know.
Some people need more scripting than others.
I don't know that.
Harvey, do you know why you need milk?
No.
Okay. Well, we need milk to make it a liquid so that it'll cook, don't we? All right, thank you. Go and have a seat, you four. Round of applause for our helpers. So here we've got the completeness, haven't we? Here, it was incomplete. There was no sugar. The church is incomplete if we choose not to use, or if an individual chooses not to use their gifts to build each other up. But some, have a look down at verse 15, they might say, well, that's all very well and good, but I actually don't have a gift. Other people do, you know, those people at the sound desk, they've got, well, magnificent gifts. And the musicians this morning, magnificent gifts, but not me. All right, look at verse 15, because Paul speaks to that person. He says, if the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. So it's like, actually, if you've got that inferiority kind of complex, say, oh, I haven't got a gift. Paul says, no, that's nonsense. Everyone's been gifted because the Spirit's been poured out on everybody. And we all have gifts. And even if you think you don't have a gift, Paul says that doesn't make you any less part of the church. Now, it may be that it's not a visible gift. Maybe you're not the kind of the person who can't stop talking up front or the person who can't stop strumming. Maybe it's as simple as putting chairs away or putting chairs out or serving tea and coffee, welcoming people, sitting at the back at the sound desk or doing the audiovisual. We're all equally gifted, and all of us use our gifts to help each other worship God. There is no place for the I'm not gifted. But then jump down to verse 21, because Paul changes the kind of the argument here. He's still talking about our need for each other, but rather than this person being inferior, this person is thinking they are superior. Verse 21. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So saying, if you're sitting here going, well, you know, look at me, I'm so gifted. I could, you know, take up a whole CV with all the gifts that God has given me, all the skills I've been given, and that person over there, all they do is, you know, serve tea and coffee. It's embarrassing. It's like saying that. No. Those parts that you think are ignorant and are silly and not worth having, Paul says, no, the greater honour is given to those parts that we think are not so important. Why is he saying that? To knock down that superiority complex. So if I, as a preacher, start saying, well, you know, this church can't live without me, and, oh, you know, incompetent people at the back or incompetent people leading janitors, that's absolute nonsense. There is no place in the church for a superiority complex. Because Paul is heading to verse 25. That's his whole point here. Look at verse 25. Straightforward and simple, that there be no division in the church. Jesus has given us his Spirit, he's given us his gifts, that we might build each other up, that we might promote unity, we might help each other worship Jesus, not tear each other down. So one person can't go up to another and say, you did that so badly, that was an embarrassment. That's not building each other up, is it? Just like I've shared with the apprentices here. You know, come and talk to me if you've got concerns. Don't go and harangue them. We want to be a church of unity. Because God is one. So let's just recap then. So God has poured out his Spirit. That's a sign that Jesus is the King and he's growing his international kingdom. And if he's poured out his Spirit, then we're all equally gifted to all use our gifts to build each other up, not to tear each other down. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you that we belong to you and that we belong to each other. Lord, help us to know that not just as a theory in our head, but as a practice, that we might use those gifts that we've been given to encourage each other, to serve each other, and to build a church that loves one another and promotes unity, not division. Amen.
Hey, Gareth. Really important stuff, isn't it? Really helpful, really practical. Good day day-to-day stuff that we need to be just holding on to, and I think all of us can.